Hey everyone, welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast coming to you from TCO Studios at Winter Park. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Producer Nate Vaughn is in the house. We're ready to talk about some football, some Vikings, and of course, the 2017 NFL Draft, which, as of this recording, Nate, is exactly and only 3 weeks away. 21 days from right now is the first round of the NFL Draft.
It has crept up faster than it normally seems to.
It does feel that way.
Feels like it's a slow crawl, but this year is a little different.
I'm wondering if it's because we don't have a first-round pick, so I've kind of been a little slow to go with like learning about these players, and now I'm kind of like, it's April, the draft is in April, maybe I should start like digging in on some of these guys, and then you turn around a few days later, and it's like, yeah, in 21 days, it's go time for this.
Yeah, I think that's exciting.
Yeah, I think that's kind of led to it, not having a first-round pick. The Vikings do have 5 picks in the first 4 rounds. They have 8 picks overall. If Rick Spielman does his thing, they may wind up with 10 or more picks, even though they're only scheduled for 8, because we all know how Rick does it in the NFL draft. So, the draft is coming up. VEN will be there. The draft this year is in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. The draft will literally take place with the backdrop of the Rocky steps in the background. Like, that's where the draft... It's outside on the Rocky steps this year.
Symbolic.
Yes. VEN went to the draft last year. Nate Vaughn and Scott Kegley went. Nate, that's you.
Yeah.
You went to the draft last year.
I did. It was fun.
Yeah. You guys got a lot of cool stuff.
We did. It worked out like it was a perfect scenario for us going, you know, because it's close. It was in Chicago. It was the second year in Chicago, so I wasn't at the first one in Chicago, but from everybody said how much better the second year was as far as the city hosting the draft. So I agree, it was cool, but again, I have nothing to compare it to. And we drafted a player from Chicago. We were on the same flight back, everything early the next morning, and then we got to follow Laquan Treadwell around all day in his marathon of a first day as a Minnesota Viking.
Yep, it always is for those first-round picks when they fly into their cities the next day. It is a long day for them. It includes a press conference, meeting new coaches, some teammates who may be in the building working out, of course, spending some time with VEN because we're following them around, we're miking them up, we're interviewing them. We're chronicling their first day as a member of the organization. Now, as of right now, we won't be doing that this year because we don't have a first-round pick, but you never know with Tricky Rick. Rick might try and get up into the first round and get a guy again, or he may not. But whether he does or he does not, we're going to get a first round. We're going to get a front row, rather, view of that because we're going to be there. I'm going to go this time. I've never been to an NFL draft. We're going this year. We don't have a first-round pick, so kind of figuring maybe I can not be at Winter Park for the first round. Normally, I need to be in the building for the first round because we interview Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer about who we took and why we took them and what's it mean. But we won't really have that going on this year, we don't think. So I'm going to go. I'll bring Michael Wayne Harris with me, and he will operate a video camera. I will operate a microphone and tape recorder, and we'll capture some content from the draft. Should be pretty cool in Philadelphia. Looking forward to that. But we'll be back Friday for the second and third rounds, providing you our normal coverage right here from Winter Park, so have no fear. Anyway, so the draft is coming up in 3 weeks. The next big thing, though, for the NFL news cycle, I believe, unless something is coming up that we don't know about that's unforeseen, the next big thing, Nate, is the schedule release, both the preseason and the regular season schedule release, which actually are must-see TV for NFL fans. They love the schedule release.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's another one of the things the NFL has done a good job of making a big deal. So normally the preseason schedule is announced a week or so. I don't know the exact days, but before the full schedule.
Yeah.
And then before but close to the draft most years is when the actual schedule comes out.
Yeah, I looked it up. Last year, the preseason schedule was released this week. It was April 7th of last year.
Okay.
So
we might be breaking some news here on the Wobcast.
Any minute, it could be released. And we don't know who we play in the preseason. Unlike the regular season schedule, we already know who we play and where we play, and we just don't know what days and times and the order that we play our opponents. So that should be coming up here in the next couple of weeks. So we finish this week. We go into next week and have a normal week. Then the week after that, plan on the schedule being released, and then the week after that, it's the NFL draft. So lots of stuff coming up. For now, though, it's the Wobcast. You're going to have to live with that. Coming up in today's show, we're going to hear from Mike Mayock, who goes on a tour of a bunch of schools' pro days, and he was at a big one last week. We're going to talk about that. We'll do our position update, running backs and defensive linemen, another new feature here on the Wobcast. That's 2 weeks in a row that Nate and I have introduced a new feature on the Wobcast to you. We have another one this week called the Steam Room.
I'm excited.
So am I. You're going to love the Steam Room, and of course, fan mail. But first, some Vikings news. We signed a quarterback last week, Nate. Case Keenum.
Just the Vikings organization, just everybody we met, you know, from getting picked up at the airport to, you know, being at the facility to, you know, going out eating with coaches and staff. It's, you know, it just seems like a first class, you know, first class team. And I think from what I've heard, you know, it comes from the owners. So, you know, I'm excited to be a part of that. I'm excited to add my, you know, stamp on the culture that's already been built there. My goal is always, you know, I just kind of talking about a role. My goal, my personal goal on any team I'm at is to make that team better. And that's you know, whatever role, you know, is required of me. We didn't talk specifics about that with the coaches, but, you know, I'm ready to come in and compete. You know, I'm going to come in and run the offense as quickly as I can and, you know, just try to focus on making this team better.
And what do you know about the offense, just having talked to some of the coaches here when you're visiting?
You know, it's I've got a similar background, you know, in I guess you could call it the, you know, what the core of the offense is. You know, obviously some different terminology and some different things that they're trying to do. You know, specifically with the different weapons that they have. But I've got a lot of familiarity with it, and a lot of it, you know, I feel like I'm speaking the same language in certain areas as the coaches are. So I'm still going to have to figure out, you know, what, you know, a few little, you know, quite a bit of the offense and then kind of convert it into, you know, into my brain. But I'm excited to do that. It's a challenge, and I love learning. I love, you know, playing football. I love practicing. I love studying. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to get to work with Coach Shermer and these guys.
That sound quality brought to you by the Watergate Hotel. it sounds like we were listening to Watergate recordings from the 70s.
But, yeah. The trick is, it was just the other day. It was not the 70s.
Right. That was Case Keenum talking to local reporters after his decision to sign with the Vikings. Conference call audio, which you can find only here at Vikings.com and the Wobcast. So, welcome Case Keenum. University of Houston product, very prolific career, was a conference player of the year, was a two-time Davey O'Brien Award finalist. The Davey O'Brien Award is the most prestigious college football award associated with quarterbacks. Came out undrafted, signed with the Houston Texans, then went to the St. Louis Rams, then back to the Houston Texans, then back to the St. Louis / Los Angeles Rams. In and out three different seasons with Sam Bradford and the Rams. One cool note about Case Keenum, he played in and started in the last game for the St. Louis Rams couple of years ago, and had a near-perfect quarterback rating that day, was with the Los Angeles Rams last season. Started for them at the beginning of the year, and then eventually gave way to number one overall pick Jared Goff. Now Case Keenum is a Viking, and he'll be Sam Bradford's backup. So, Nate, this signing kind of affirms how we were already operating, what we already knew, that Teddy Bridgewater likely not going to be ready to do football-type things at the start of the 2017 season. So you're going to need a backup quarterback to compete with Taylor Heineke. Case Keenum will do that. I do not think this rules out the possibility of the Vikings drafting a quarterback. But I think without this signing, you would be like, yeah, they're for sure going to draft one. Now it's like, well, they still could, but we don't know for sure. So it's just Rick Spielman doing two things, fortifying the quarterback depth chart and also giving the Vikings a little more flexibility and unpredictability in the NFL draft. Sean Hill is currently actually a free agent. So that's why we didn't mention him with all the other quarterbacks who are on the roster. He was our backup last year. Of course, he started week one for us at Tennessee, a victory, but he's a free agent right now. So under contract right now for us, Bradford and Heinicke, who can play. Of course, Bridgewater cannot play, but now we have Case Keenum. All right, let's switch gears here and go to the draft. We're going to give you some more sound, and then we're going to react to it. This is NFL Network draft analyst and friend of the program here at Vikings Entertainment Network, Mike Mayock, talking about his experience observing, watching, and talking to people at the University of Florida Pro Day.
Pro Day tour continues today, Gainesville, Florida. And folks, there is a ton of defensive talent on display. Now, there were three main storylines for me today. Two kids that weren't able to work out at the combine. The first, Jared Davis, linebacker, ran 4.58, jumped 38 and a half inches, looked really good in the position drills. Fits in the top three, Reuben Foster, Hassan Reddick, and Jared Davis. I think he's probably going to go in the first round. Now, Marcus May, safety, was not able to work out. He ran 4.48 and really looked good. He helped himself. Now, this is a talent-laden safety draft. I think he'll go somewhere on the second day. And then we've got Tease Tabor. Talk about a polarizing conversation. Ran in the 4.6s at the combine, predicted a 4.52. He ran 4.75. That's really going to hurt, and that's going to be a polarizing conversation in draft rooms. So a lot of people talked about him as a potential first-round pick. He's going to slide a little bit, but it's going to be a great conversation going forward. Now, in addition to that, I thought Alex Anzalone, the defensive linebacker, he's long, athletic. The only question about him is durability, because he certainly has ability. I think Anzalone probably goes in the third round. Quincy Wilson, the, quote, other corner, has great tape, ran 4.54, long, good ball skills. He's a conversation piece for a late first round or early second round. And I think a guy off the radar a little bit, Joey Ivey, defensive tackle, non-combine invite. He had a really good workout today, and I think he can find a home in the NFL.
All right, there you go, Mike Mayock, our buddy. We did a great interview with Mayock at the end of the combine this year. That was awesome, and an awesome report from Mayock at the Florida Pro Day right there. Nate, this caught my attention because, you know, all the draft talk with the Vikings is offensive positions and players.
Yeah.
You know, tight ends, offensive linemen, wide receivers. You know, and here Mayock is at the Florida Pro Day. Florida is what I would consider a football powerhouse. It's an NFL factory. Tons of players in the league, you know, played at Florida, and in the league's history played at Florida. So when the University of Florida has its pro day, you take it seriously. When a player in the draft went to Florida, you take him seriously. And so here Mr. Mayock is talking about defense. So we'll mix it up a little bit and talk about some of these players. Now, he did mention linebacker Jared Davis and the two corners, Tabor and Wilson. But I was interested in his comments about Marcus May. And then Anzalone and Ivy as well. May didn't work out at the combine, but as Mike said, it's a deep safety class. This could be a day two pick, which means a second or a third rounder. And if players at positions of need for the Vikings are gone, and if, Nate, the depth of the cornerback, running back, and tight end classes, plus 3 to 4 first-round quarterbacks or early second-round quarterbacks, push good players like May down the draft, can you blame the Vikings for considering pairing that guy with Harrison Smith, even though defense and safety isn't a need? That's a little appealing, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. They addressed safety a little bit in last year's draft.
Yep.
So getting another young safety can't hurt anything, obviously. And that's one of the good things about, like we talked about earlier, about fortifying positions that we already have maybe a starter at, mm-hmm. Filling in underneath that, like we did with Case Keenum at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, we probably would have drafted a quarterback had we not signed Case. Well, now we still could, but the pressure's not necessarily there.
Agreed.
So that goes for all positions across the board.
Kind of the same thing with Latavius Murray, too. You know, I mean, I still think we're candidates to draft a running back, but now you don't have to, like, trade up in the first round to get one of the best guys. You know, if you don't do that, you still have a really good running back in Murray. But you know, back to Marcus May, here's the NFL.com summary on his scouting report profile page. Interchangeable safety with the instincts of a free safety and the physicality of a box player. Thrives as a downhill player and has the instincts and speed to operate effectively from both single high and two deep looks. Has the physical attributes and intelligence to step into a starter's role early on and will be a strong contributor on special teams. At 48,
yeah, I'd
yes, please. Yes, please. And that's not a knock on Andrew Sandejo or Jayron Kearse. It's just literally taking the best player available on the board, which is the best way to do it. And if it's a safety for the Vikings, I'm not going to be mad at them at 48, just like I wasn't mad at them when they took Kyle Rudolph in the second round in 2011 when we didn't need a tight end, but we took Rudy anyway. And, I mean, Rudy's been a really productive player for us. He's the all-time leader in touchdowns by a tight end. So
yeah, that's turned out all right.
In Vikings history. So just interesting. That just caught my attention when Mayock was talking about him. Anzalone, Mayock said, possible third rounder. He's had two shoulder injuries on the same shoulder and a broken left arm in college. So he, you know, I think teams may knock him with some injury history that could cause him to fall further than he should. But an interesting prospect for the Vikings. I don't think the cupboard is bare for the Vikings at linebacker. They lost Greenway. I know that. They have Barr and Kendricks, of course, but they also have Edmund Robinson, Kentrell Brothers, and Emmanuel Lemur. So I don't think that's a big need for us, but Anzalone sounds like he's you know, been a productive player for Florida. Sounds like he can play all three spots. And so he's, you know, and one who I think is interesting. And then Joey Ivey, the defensive tackle he mentioned, the reason that caught my attention is because, you know, we have a great defensive line. All starters are coming back. But you need to be deep along the defensive line. And even though we have a great reserve in Tom Johnson coming back, and we signed Dayton Jones, who I think could play D end or D tackle, you know, I'm interested in giving this defensive coaching staff another young project to mold along the defensive line. Look what they've done with Danielle Hunter. Look what they've done with Everson Griffin as a starter. Look what they've done with B-Rob and changing his role and developing Shamar Stephan, a seventh-round pick. You know, I'm interested in giving those guys more things to develop, and maybe this, maybe Joey Ivey is one who is a candidate for that. And Joey Ivey's backstory is incredible. His sister tragically passed away in a car accident. He had to rush home to be with her and was there when she passed away. His brother has a medical issue and had to give up playing football. He was going to come to Florida and play with Joey Ivey. So really, you know, an interesting and kind of an unfortunate and tragic way backstory for Joey Ivey, and just, you know, an interesting guy here to watch in the 21 days leading up to the NFL draft. All right, let's do the position updates, Nate.
Let's do it.
We did last week. What did we do? We did
linebackers
and receivers.
Yeah,
last week.
Yes.
Today we're gonna do running backs and defensive linemen. So we'll start with the running backs. Your positional update on the Vikings roster with running backs. Of course, we start with Adrian Peterson. He will not be back. The Vikings signed Latavius Murray in free agency. Matt Asiata is currently a free agent, so we don't know if he'll be back or not. Currently on the roster, in addition to Latavius Murray, you have CJ Ham and Bishop Sankey. So the cupboard is not bare. Certainly feels like, though, running back is a potential spot the Vikings could address in this year's draft. Running back's valuable because you also use them on special teams.
And let's not forget about Jerick McKinnon, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He,
forgot about him.
I mean, he played a big part last year. I mean, he and yeah. Adrian's injury absence, him and Matt Asiata together, you know, provided our rushing attack.
Right. And he is a special teams contributor as well, a valuable one. Maybe he can be a guy who's a kickoff return candidate with Cordero gone. So, yeah, McKinnon obviously very valuable. I did not include him as my on-roster guy. CJ Ham, Bishop Sankey, and, yes, Jerick McKinnon on the roster. And I think, you know, we signed Latavius Murray, and even if we draft a running back in the middle rounds or at 48, I still think Jerick McKinnon factors into the plans this year. It's just running back has become a position in the NFL where you don't have a lot of teams don't have that one guy anymore that they play on all three downs and give 25 carries to. It's a little bit more of a by committee approach. We certainly saw the two teams in the Super Bowl do a by committee approach. Falcons had two pretty good ones that they used, Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman. And the Patriots, of course, they used three running backs all year. LeGarrette Blount had 18 touchdowns, by the way. LeGarrette Blount had 18 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's okay. Crazy to think about.
You know, but of course, James White was like the guy everyone talked about in the Super Bowl because he had such a good game. So you need lots of good running backs. And the Vikings have a couple of good ones on the roster. They're developing a couple of more, and maybe they'll draft one this year. Speaking of Latavius Murray, we talked about him a little bit here. Pete Bursich has a film breakdown of Latavius Murray, one of the Vikings free agent signings this offseason. It's on Vikings.com and the Vikings app right now. So if you want to dig into the X's and O's as it relates to Latavius Murray, make sure you go check out Pete Bursich's film study. He also did one on Daytone Jones, and he did one on Mike Remmers and Riley Reiff.
Speaking of Daytone Jones,
yes.
Should we move on to the defensive line?
Yes, we should.
Or did you have more to say about running?
No, that was it.
Okay.
Let's move on to the defensive line. We'll break it down into D tackles and DNs, and we'll start with DNs. Our top three guys all return. So that's good news. We're not hurting for depth. Justin Tratto is a free agent. We don't know if he'll be back or not, but we do know that Stephen Weatherly will be back. He's been working out here at Winter Park. He's a guy who is raw but very talented and has some promise and could develop. Also on the roster, Sterling Bailey and B.J. DuBose. Not putting Daytone Jones as a D-end. I'm wondering maybe if he slides inside and plays D-tackle. Maybe he stays outside and plays D-end. But if he slides inside and plays D-tackle, you've got even more depth at a position where the Vikings have been very good. Linval Joseph and Shamar Stephan are the starters. They both return. Top reserve, Tom Johnson, also returns. He had an injury at the end of last season, but he should be good to go. Sharif Floyd is a question mark, of course. Don't forget about Toby Johnson, who had a great preseason last summer, is still on the roster right now as a developmental guy. And so you have, you know, you're pretty stacked at defensive tackle, but you could add another good one in the draft if you wanted to. And I will be very interested to see, Nate, what the Vikings do with Daytone Jones. He was a stand-up outside linebacker with Green Bay, and we could move him in to play D-tackle here. Or we could play him at D-end. But either way, he's going to have his hand on the ground here. He was a stand-up guy in Green Bay, so quite the transition for him. And you had some interaction with Daytone when he signed here. He did the skull chant for you.
He did. He was excited. Yeah. We weren't in there for too long, but yeah, when he signed his contract, he was ready to go. He came down to the studio and said hi to everybody. So yeah. He seemed like an excitable guy and a guy who was excited to be wearing the purple. So we're excited to have him.
I think he'll be excited to play Green Bay twice next year.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, he should be.
He'd fit in well then with the rest of us.
Yes, because the rest of us get excited about that too. All right, so that's it for today's positional updates, running backs and D linemen. We did linebackers and wide receivers last week. So if you want to get caught up and you didn't listen to last week's Wobcast, go and do that where we did linebackers and wide receivers. You just heard running backs and defensive linemen. And next week you will hear about the cornerbacks and the safeties for the positional updates. All right, let's move on to our new feature.
Our new feature, the steam room.
Yes. Ooh, steamy in here. Let me wipe off my glasses.
It is getting pretty warm. I'm starting to sweat a little bit.
Steamy. 3 weeks in front of the draft, lots of steam. Steam is like information and rumors and predictions on what's going to happen. That's what we refer to as steam in these parts, folks. So the steam room is going to be a collection of the latest rumors that Nate and I have heard about across the internet and TV and all sorts of different platforms.
Or that we found on a website. Right. Most people don't know. Twitter.com.
Right.
So you might not have heard of it, but if you're looking for a lot of steamy rumors, mm-hmm. Twitter is a good place that we found to find some of those.
So I'll do the first and the third ones.
Okay.
You do the middle one.
All right.
Okay. So our first item in the steam room today from Adam Schefter on Twitter, at Adam Schefter. On this outline, I've misspelled his name because I put two R's at the end, but you can't see the outline, so it doesn't matter. There's only one R at the end.
Right.
Marshawn Lynch is at Raiders facility today as of course, Pat McAfee, at Pat McAfee Show on Twitter, reported. Source believes eventually it will happen.
Friend of the show, Pat McAfee. Right. Yeah, friend of the EM.
Yes, he is. He was very generous with his time at the Combine with us, and he's awesome and funny.
He loves the skull chant.
Yeah, he does too. He did it
in the middle of the Combine.
Unsolicited, yeah. In the middle of the Combine media room, Pat McAfee doing the skull chant.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, thank you, Pat, and thank you for listening to the Wobcast. Latavius Murray.
Marshawn Lynch
to the Raiders, potentially, Nate. That's kind of fun. He's from Oakland.
That would be fun to watch. Obviously, it'd be something Oakland... easy for me to say. I'm not from Oakland. I don't live in Oakland. But you would think it'd be something Oakland fans could get behind, at least for this year or two, where they're kind of, you know, their fans could kind of be in limbo before the move to Las Vegas. So something Oakland for Oakland to be excited about on the Raiders for two more years. Maybe two more years. Right. Maybe 1 year. Who knows?
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, get him out of Seattle, because we might have to play Seattle in the playoffs or next regular season. Get him into the AFC, but we still get to watch him, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that. Really cool story, particularly because he's from Oakland. He did not play last year. He was out of the league last year. Could return and play for the Raiders this year. That from Adam Schefter, who basically says, according to sources, it will happen. There's like no one who's more right more often than Adam Schefter.
Yeah, he's pretty plugged in, and he is usually pretty like safe with the things he tweets. Like, he breaks some stuff, but you know, like he's probably not going to report something that's wrong.
Right. Yeah, he's right many times. So that would be cool. Okay, item number two, Nate.
Another note from Adam Schefter.
Okay.
Is that Dallas has emerged as a favorite to host the 2018 NFL draft at the Cowboys' new headquarters in Frisco, Texas.
Aha!
Some 2018 steam for you.
That is extra steamy. Do you know why?
Tell me why.
Because we have a new facility that's being built.
Not in Frisco, Texas.
No, in Eagan, Minnesota. And so if the Cowboys can host the NFL draft at their new facility...
why not us?
Dot, dot, dot.
But we'll see.
Steamy.
That is steamy.
All right.
What else is steamy?
The third item of steam for our new feature, the Steam Room. From Boston Herald Patriots beat writer Jeff Howe, the Patriots have some interest in Richard Sherman, per source, but wouldn't be expected to be on full pursuit unless they lose Malcolm Butler. Are you kidding me? They signed Stephon Gilmore. They just won the Super Bowl, by the way. They have Bill Belichick as their coach. They got their middle linebacker back, who was a free agent and visited some teams, and now he's back. And they signed Gilmore, and now they might get Richard Sherman. I guess this is good, too. Get him out of the NFC. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I guess.
We're putting the cart before the horse here a little bit. You're going to have to go and read Jeff Howe's story. You can find Jeff Howe on Twitter, at Jeff P. Howe, H-O-W-E. He's got a story up. He linked to that story. So to get the full details on this, you got to go read his story, though, because there's a lot that goes into this. Malcolm Butler is a restricted free agent currently with the Patriots, but the Saints have been kicking the tires on him. He's an RFA until April 21st. The Patriots don't have a first or a second round pick, so trading for Sherman could be tougher. Lots of details about this story. Do not want to put the cart before the horse. We're mostly just having fun with this segment, the Steam Room, and talking and making known to you some of the rumors that are out there in the NFL. These three happen to not be related to the Vikings, but they're still fun to talk about.
Yeah, it's fun to talk about things not connected to the Vikings.
Yes, it is.
Have a little more relaxed approach to it.
Right.
Let's talk about some fan mail.
Okay.
And round this thing up.
Sounds good.
First question is from Dave. He says, the Vikings have a glaring need at right guard. I suggest we draft Taylor Moten?
I'm going to go with Moten.
Moten. Mm-hmm. In the second round, plug him in next to Remmers and play him the next 10 years.
Whoa!
Can you give a rookie a 10-year contract?
Let's do a second round or a 10-year contract. Let's Here we go.
He relates him to Gabe Jackson of Oakland.
Another
Very
guard.
Similar players. What are your thoughts on that?
Surface level, I would love to draft a guard in the second round who plays 10 years for us. That would be amazing.
Kind of hard to predict, though.
Right. So that would be incredible. Yeah, I mean, right now, I guess if we had to play a game right now, Jeremiah Searles would probably be the leading candidate to start at right guard for us. But I think other guys on the roster right now can compete for that spot, including Willie Beavers and TJ Clemmings, among others. But it, you know, drafting a guard this year certainly is a possibility for the Vikings. And if it's early enough, like if it's at pick number 48, it's reasonable to expect that guy to be a starter. I remember Phil Loadholt went like at some point in the middle or middle late part of the second round in 2009, and he was a starter immediately, and we went 12-4 and went to the NFC title game with him. I think it's reasonable to expect a second round pick who's an offensive lineman to come in and start, especially when you have a vacancy at right guard. So this would be a cool scenario that Dave has laid out in front of us, and it wouldn't surprise me to see it happen.
Question two is from Peter. Do you think there will be any surprise moves by the Vikings to acquire more draft picks or surprising picks during the draft that fans might not see coming? Anyone you'd love to see the Vikings draft as a best player available that could be the greatest immediate contributor if they were available when the Vikings make their first pick in the second round? Well, you gave one of those earlier.
I did.
With Mr. May from Florida.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I don't have any specific names other than him for this, but I'll give you two positions, Nate. Like, if at 48 the Vikings took a tight end, that would kind of be like a, oh, didn't think about that, but I can see why they did that, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then if they took a corner, what do you think the reaction would be?
There would be some interesting reaction from Vikings fans.
Okay.
Part of the reaction would be, oh, Mike Zimmer loves his corners,
yes,
which he does still.
Yes, he does.
But also, you know, we picked Trey Waynes in the first round.
Yeah.
Will be 2 years ago now. Terrence Newman coming back. We have some corners. Xavier Rhodes, mm-hmm. He's okay. So we have some corners already. So that would be an interesting pick. If we pick one, I don't think there's going to be doubt that it would be a good pick. Like, that he would be a good player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And, like, I think this is a really interesting question by Peter, though. And Peter emails me regularly. He and I go back and forth on a lot of different topics. He's a great fan and has a lot of good ideas. And I think, you know, he's raising an interesting point here because I know that the best player available mantra is a tired one. But really, if you are a team and you're in a position to do that, that's the way to go. So, like, let's just break it down very simply. Let's say you're on the clock at 48, and the two highest graded players are a cornerback, and let's say you have a 8.5 out of 10 grade on the cornerback, and then the next highest player is a right guard, and you have him as a 7.1 on a scale of 1 to 10. Are you really going to turn down the player who's a shade above an 8 for a player who's just a shade above a 7 just because you don't need that position at this time? I wouldn't. Not in the draft. I would take the best player with very few exceptions. It, like, if I am the Colts and I have Andrew Luck, or if I am the Buccaneers and I have Jameis Winston, and a quarterback is literally the highest graded player on the board and it's the first round, you might pass that guy by, you know, or try and trade out or whatever. But honestly, if you have a player who's got a significantly higher grade than another player, but he just doesn't play a position of need for you, I still think you take the best player because you don't know when you're going to need the corner next. You don't know what's going to happen to you injury-wise or contract-wise. So, yeah, I mean, corner and tight end, if those happen at 48, I'm not going to get mad about that. I'm also not going to get mad if it's a right guard or a right tackle either. I mean, you just want good players. That, I guess that's the point at the end of the day.
Good players. Vikings.
As many of them as we
Let's
can get.
Let's pick good players.
Right. I'm going to go up and tell Stud and Rick that, right, and George Payton.
Hey, we were talking. We think you should draft some good players.
Some good players, yeah.
Yeah. Final question from our guy, Ev. With all the talk of our wide receivers coming and going, what about Jarius Wright? He always seemed to be a dependable, loyal player. Why don't we hear too much about him?
Cool question. Good question. I think the emergence of Adam Thielen with the way he played last year and then Stephon Diggs having another good season probably hurt Jarius's number of opportunities. You know, and then they were trying to make it work with Cordarrelle as well, and then Charles Johnson was a starter early in the season. So I think Jarius got caught up in a numbers game. So, you know, what happens in the draft is going to be you know, very interesting for Jarius Wright, I'm sure. If the Vikings draft a receiver pretty early, Jarius is definitely going to have his work cut out for him. If the Vikings don't address wide receiver, then I think there's a spot for Jarius Wright for sure. So, you know, Jarius is a reliable guy, and I will not be surprised if he's a contributor for us next year. Nice to have a guy like that kind of waiting in the wings for you. When you look at the Vikings wide receiver situation, the names you think about right away are Thielen, Diggs, and Treadwell, but maybe Wright can be a guy who can step in and be a producer for you in 2017. All right, that's it. That's all we got.
That's the end.
The Swabcast has reached its conclusion. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to stay tuned next week because we'll be back with another edition of the Wobcast as we get 1 week closer to two things that are very important. The draft, of course, at the end of April, but also the release of the 2017 NFL schedule, which includes a Vikings slate of games where one of them will be played in another country. In fact, on another continent over in Europe, the Vikings play in London. We're going to find out when that game is, and lots of other good stuff about our schedule. So lots of exciting things coming up, and we're going to bring it all to you. And we're going to talk about it a bunch, so make sure you stay tuned to Vikings.com, the Vikings app, and of course the Wobcast. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host Mike Wobshaw, signing off for now, wishing you a good weekend, and saying see you later until next week.